church of Smyrna tonight. It's going to be a while, son. It'll be a while. Amen. No, more than that. Amen. All right. So far, we have covered everything on the Church of Smyrna except one thing concerning the second death. And we're going to talk about that tonight over the next several moments. Amen. Once you found your place there in Revelation chapter 2, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. Revelation chapter number 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Revelation chapter 2, 9, 10, and 11. Is it too cold for anybody yet? No? That didn't sound good. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 2. And let's read verses 9, 10, 11 together. Here we go. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Father, bless now the time that we have here together as your people. And Lord, open our minds and our hearts to the second death. We may understand what it's about, who are those that will be involved with it. Lord, I just pray that you would guide, direct, and lead tonight. And to help us, Lord, to gain a few more nuggets of gold to put in our hearts, put in our minds, Lord, and to challenge us again, Lord, what we ought to do for the kingdom of God's sake. Lord, you're coming and you're coming soon. The devil knows he has but a short time and he's trying to deceive as many as he can. Work in us and through us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. So we're talking about the second death. Amen. By the way, let me just get you caught back up. The Church of Smyrna was the persecuted but protected church, and the saints are persecuted but protected, just like us. Amen. Okay, now this one stopped working. How did I do that? Which one am I messing with? Oh, I'm messing with that one. Oh, so it's this one I need to mess with. Oh. Sorry about that for messing y'all up back there. Y'all had a good thing going back there. Brother Hall, he figured his last night, so he's going to come in here and sabotage our plans. All right. Okay, so we're persecuted but protected. Verse 9, we saw their woes, their wealth, and their warning through persecution. God said these things are going to happen. They're happening right now. Then verse 10, we began to see verse 10 and 11, their refinement through persecution. We saw the refinement through pain in verse 10, their refinement through prison. And then toward the end of verse 10, their refinement through promise. You say, preacher, what's the promise? He said at the end down there of verse number 10, you're going to have tribulation 10 days. That's a promise. He said before that, you're going to be tried. That's a promise. He said before that, Satan's going to cast some of you in prison. That's a promise. How would you operate if you had promises like that? You go back to work tomorrow or you go to school tomorrow and they say, well, you're going to be put in prison tomorrow for 10 days. You're going to be tried for 10 days. And let me tell you this also. You know, God's going to, you're going to be tried. You're going to have tribulation and you're going to be in prison for the next 10 days. How would you operate going into that day? Stay home. Yeah, stay home, call in sick or something. Amen. That's not good. But those are promises. He said it's going to happen. But he says down there at the end of verse 10, but be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. That's also a promise. That's a promise. He said, if you're faithful, I'll give you a promise. Amen. But then you come down in verse number 11, he says something else as well. Their refinement through promise. He says, hey, look, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He said, whoever is listening, let me tell you, you need to hear what I'm saying. The person that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. That also is a promise. They won't be hurt of the second death. Amen. So my question is this. What's so good about promises? What's so good about promises? Because these are promises, Brother Hall. If you believe them, they can dictate your behavior. That is true. What else? What's so good about promises? What do promises normally bring with them? That's all. Hope, faith. What else do they bring, Joshua? Benefits. Promises normally come with benefits. Now, the promises in verse 9 and 10 aren't benefits. Well, and I guess in a way they are. And we know that all things work together for good. So it is a benefit, but it's not the benefit that we're looking for. So promises normally come with rewards. I was out the last Monday pulling weeds in my yard, and I had three promise keepers, Joshua, Faith, and G2. And I told them, I got a promise for you guys. If you pull weeds without complaining and moaning and murmuring, and I will give you an otter pop when we're done. And do you know they work diligently? Not one complained. And I said, man, you guys work good. Nobody complained. Joshua said, well, I did inside. So, but he didn't do it outside. Amen. Not once did I see poochy lip. Did I say, you know, see any of this? Gregory was leading the charge, pulling weeds. I mean, her faith was following up. And they diligently did their work. And at the end was a promise. And so promises are good because normally they give you rewards. Also, you can get bad stuff as well. Amen. Now, with that in mind, notice what he says down there. Because this church at Smyrna, they were promised persecution in verses 9 and 10. But they were also promised prosperity at the end of verse 10, the crown of life, and the not being heard of the second death there in verse number 11. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. He that overcometh. The word overcometh there means the same word we get Nike from, Nikeo. Nikeo, we get Nike from that. It means to prevail, to get the victory, to conquer, to subdue. So whoever has Nike shoes on, Josiah, I know you got Under Armour on. Doesn't count. Amen. I don't know what that is in the Greek. Amen. But Nike means to overcome, to pursue, to subdue. And he says, all right, the person that overcomes, who's a Nike, who's a victor, who's a conqueror, he says, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to be hurt of the second death. By the way, keeping the faith and not giving up through trials and tribulations like they experience here can show that we are saved trusting the promises of God. Is that always true? If we don't keep the promises, though, what if we don't keep the promises of God? Will we still be hurt by the second death? Good to be saved, isn't it? Yes. Amen. He never says he that does not keep this shall be hurt. He says the one that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. We're going to talk about that in just a moment here, but let me show you what one commentary said. He said this, he that overcometh. The particular promise here is made to him that should overcome, that is, that would gain victory in his persecutions or her persecutions, which would come upon them and be an example of faithfulness under fire. In other words, the world sees our faith. If we quit, what does that mean? Anybody can quit, can't they? You ever play basketball or, you know, one of these games with somebody and they just quit on you? How do you feel? Don't you feel bad, especially if you're winning? You'd be like, you just quit. Just quit. Just give up, you know. Out there running track. They just quit and run off the track. Yo, look, man, I still want the baton. You know, I'm running with you, but we were losing. Don't you think I could have maybe made up the difference? Your lack of faith in me disappoints me. Amen. Hey, keep running. It can show that we have the faith to carry on. The reference, the other one says this, is to him who would show the sustaining power of faith in times of persecution. In other words, faith in the promises of God to sustain them. Another one says, the person would not yield his principles when opposed or persecuted. It means overcometh. Or another one says, he who would be triumphant when so many efforts persuade him to abandon the cause. Amen. So he says, to him that overcometh, he says, he that overcometh should not be hurt of the second death. It is possible, though not always true. Some may not be truly saved, and that is why they quit. Some may not be saved, and that, by the way, it takes the Spirit of God to keep you going. Now, again, not always. That's why I'm phrasing it this way. It's possible, though not always true. Some may not truly be saved. That's why they don't stay the course. Not always true, but sometimes it is. They don't have in them what's necessary. What's necessary to continue in the faith? The Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I cannot do this in the flesh. And many try to do it in the flesh. And when they can't do it in the flesh, they quit because they never had the Spirit of God. Many, many religious people that are lost, that happens to them. Okay, so coming up to the second death, because it's all, okay, if you can handle this, if you can go through this, he said, hear what the Spirit's saying. He says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So in your opinion or in your own words, what is the second death? What is the second death? In your own words, in your opinion, what is the second death? If you had to phrase it, Brother Hall. Lake of fire, okay. Anybody else? What is the second death? Anybody? Brother Ken? Death and hell. Death and hell. Amen. Anybody else? What is the second death? What's the first death? Faith? No, the first death. First death. Tasha? Exactly. The first death is just a physical death. You give up the ghost. Whatever ghost you may have, be it evil or good. Amen. That's the first death. But then there's a second death. Ooh. Joshua? Hell is thrown in a lake of fire. Amen. Give you this. And really, the Bible never gives you a description or a definition of the second death. But literally, it is the death after the first death, as Tasha spoke about, and the subsequent judgment of those not born twice or born again. So you've got to be born once first, but then you've got to be what? Born again. Spiritually, it means eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. So let's look at a couple of verses here because I want us to really think about this concept. There is more spoken about the first, how can I put this? There is less spoken of the second death and more spoken of the second birth. Catch that? There is more that's said about the new life than is said about the second death. Why would that be true? Why is there more said about the second birth than about the second birth than the second death? Amen. And think about this. Can you get more done? And this is not always true, but can you get more done with positive encouragement or negative discouragement? Positive encouragement. So the second death is not talked about much. The second birth is talked about a lot. Why? It's a promise, and God is trying to put that out there, saying, hey, look, there is a second death, but we're not going to talk about that because I want to put this promise out there. I can get a whole lot more done with you seeing there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Some folks start Monday looking to Friday already. I mean, today's Monday. Man, but Friday's coming right around the corner. I mean, somebody, as soon as they get paid, payday's coming another 30 days. I mean, just looking down the end, and that's how I am with trouble. When trouble comes, I say, hey, look, there's light at the end of this tunnel. This is not going to always be this way. And I'll always tell my wife, I say, hey, look, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Now, it may be a long time in getting better, amen, But as long as I got that positive down the road, it's going to get better. Amen. I've always got that to shoot for. If I dwell on and mull on what is so painful now, guess what? I'm in bad shape. Amen, Brother Hall. It does. So I want to go forward. Amen. One of the worst things going home was driving through Texas. Glory, that's a long state. I mean, as soon as we hit it, I thought, oh, I said, but kids, one day we're going to be out of this. Not today, but give us a day or two. We're going to be out of Texas. Amen. And we had something to look forward to. Revelation chapter 20. Let's go over there and verse number 6. And this is one of those areas here. What are we talking about here? Promises. He promised them tribulation. He promised them tough times. He promised them that it was going to be trials. But he also promised them, hey, look, there's a crown of life down there. And you're not going to be hurting the second death. So he's trying to put that carrot out there in front of them. And he talks more about the second birth and the second death. Revelation 20 and verse number 6 here is one time where it's talked about here. Notice what it says there. Let's go up to verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So John is saying, hey, look, we saw all this. He says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But notice this, the rest of the dead. So they already died, right? So the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the what? First resurrection. If I'm born twice, I die once. I'm resurrected to live forever. On such, notice this, the second death. What does that mean? People mortally die. Hath no power. We are not going to mortally die ever again. Why? We'll be immortal. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is expiring in verse number 7, and move down to verse 14 with me. And of course, after the 1,000 years, the sinners are judged there, starting in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the who? The dead. How big? Small and great. Doesn't matter your size. Doesn't matter your age. If you were the age of accountability and you denied Jesus Christ and rejected Jesus Christ, I don't care how small you are, I don't care how great you are, this is where you're going to stand. If you have any knowledge of the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and you rejected him, people go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ, not because they're good or bad, but because they reject Christ. He says, stand before God, small and great. He says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. They try to work their way to heaven, and it is a free gift. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. So all the Titanic folks, there they go. And death and hell, those people down there, he said, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So I don't care where you died at, you're going to be delivered up. And they were judged, every man according to their what? Their works. They tried to work. What does the Bible say? By what? Grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, your works are not going to get you there. And this is where you will stand, small and great. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into where? The lake of fire. This is what? The second death. So even after the 1,000 years, these people still are wondering why they aren't resurrected. They're wondering why they're still in torments, why they're in hell. God calls them up here after the 1,000 years and says, all right, let me pull out the books. Your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Guess what? You tried to work for salvation. It didn't work. And this is where you're going. I'm so glad that God lets us know there is a warning. There is a warning. Come over to Revelation chapter 21 with me. Notice what he says down here in verse number 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. What a day that will be. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the what? Lake which what? Burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. He said the peoples with these lifestyles obviously have shown that they are unregenerate. They are not born again. They did not become born again. They did not accept Christ, and that's why they have that lifestyle. It's not so much the deeds that they do, it's the heart that they have that makes them do the deeds that they do. And because they do these deeds, he said, they're going into the lake of fire. And so not much is said about that. Go over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 25. Now, in his sermons, Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. That is true. But not much is said about the second death in and of itself. Why? The promise that God wants to hang out there is whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Amen. And you have the promise even through tribulations and persecutions. Amen. Matthew 25 and verse 41. This is Jesus himself preaching here. Matthew 25 verse 41. And notice what he says down here. Now, of course, the judgment is being given out to the Gentiles during the time of judgment. And he says down here in verse 40, The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Jesus spoke about hell quite a bit. Now, this is not the second death, but they are going to go there. Amen. They will go there for their judgment. And so when you look at this, the second life appears to be discussed more than the second death. Why? I believe possibly because we operate better with promises. Think about it. You go to work for a promise of what? Pay. That's why you go to work. Nobody goes to work just because they like to go. How many of y'all go to work just because you like to go? Terrell, do you wash cars because you like washing cars? No, you can wash cars because you want the money, amen. Shane is going to school and Antoinette because they want to get a better education, hopefully get a better job so they can get better pay, amen. And so promises work very good, and I believe that the promise of rewards for grades are good. And so children normally get rewarded for their grades, amen. Now, do they get disciplined for bad grades? Yeah, they often do, amen. What's the greater motivator, the discipline or the rewards? The rewards. The rewards. By the way, do we get a reward for obeying the law? No. We don't get caught. We don't get a ticket, amen. But they don't go there and say, yeah, by the way, if you got State Farm or some of these other places, they'll give you some incentives for a good driving record. You know, I was with Geico for 20 some years, 30 years. You know what they gave me for a good driving record? They increased my rent, my pay. I chucked them, boy, like they was a bad habit. I said, get out of here. I've been with y'all all these years, and you're going to raise my stuff up. Well, I'm sorry, sir, your age and all this. My age? I'm going slower now. It's him you got to worry about.
He'll get charged for his
age. That's right. Yeah, I'll pay for his age, all right, amen. Amen. So the promises kept Smyrna going through the tough times and the trials and the tribulations that they experienced there in verses 9 and 10. You know, you get a promise of a raise for good employment practices. Amen. When you do good, you get a raise. Amen. When you do bad at your job, amen, you get terminated. What's the greater incentive, the raise or the termination? The raise. Amen. You know, I mean, who wants to work in fear every day you go to work? Oh, I'm going to get fired if I don't do this. Oh. But man, you go over there and say, man, if I do this good, boss is going to give me a raise. Hey, whoa, let me do this stuff. Hey, you know, I mean, I'd rather work for a raise than try not to get terminated. Amen. But you have some people are like that. Amen. So promises kept Smyrna going in the tough times of trials and tribulations. Amen. We also have the promise of tough times and trials and tribulations. John 16:33. We can probably all quote that. He said, in the world, you're going to have what? Tribulation. That's a promise. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? That's a promise. That's a promise that if you're in the world, you're going to suffer persecution. If you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. But what keeps us going? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called. God uses that to make us who he wants us to be. Now, I'm with you. I don't like trials. I don't like tribulations. I don't like persecution. I'd quickly pass them off to you if I could. But it's what makes me what I need to be. Without them, I won't be what I need to be. And it is the same way with you. By the way, there's one consolation. Go over to 1 Corinthians 10:13 real quick with me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If there is a consolation, what does misery like? Misery loves company. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is one verse that keeps a lot of Christians going. He says down there, therefore, there hath no temptation you, but such as is what? Common to man. Lord, I'm so glad that Brother Hall gets his share. Amen. I don't want Brother Hall's share, and I don't want Pastor White's share, and I don't want Brother Duffy's share, and I don't want Shane's share. I'm glad everybody gets their share. God, I'm glad that you know how to divvy the share out. It's common to man. We all are going to get it the way God knows we need it, proportionately. Can you imagine if you got all the trials and the tribulations of the entire church yourself alone? And the rest of us is like this. Girl, I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. Ooh, I'm blessed. I'm beat. I got all these problems. Girl, you need to be in my shoes. Boy, everybody like to get in your shoes if that were the case. God knows that that's not fair. But God also knows that those of us that are blessed, we're not going to grow like that. Got to have some hard times. Amen. That helps us grow. The church at Smyrna was experiencing that. And he says, you know what? This is going to keep you going. I like what Genesis, Abraham said about God. Genesis 18. This is another verse that keeps me going, knowing that everybody's going to get the same. But over in Genesis 18, I like what Abraham said when he was kind of counting down the cost with Lot. Genesis 18 and down there in verse number 25. As he's trying to whittle God down here of the righteous that he's going to spare the number on, he says down there, verse 24, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Notice verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner. He says, God, you wouldn't do this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Notice this phrase he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have to believe and know that God's going to do right. We've got to believe that with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that God's going to do right by us no matter what. We may not understand it. We may not be able to figure it out. We may not even want to accept it, but God's always going to do right. Yes, Ms. Dawson?
Even when we're suffering, we're still blessed because God is in charge. We just don't feel blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed. We don't see it because we see the curse instead of the blessings. Amen. And so he said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, Romans 10:13 says what? Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
That's a promise, isn't it? God says, if you call, I'll save you. And so because of that, we know that we aren't going to see the second death. And there's another promise. 1 John chapter 3. Let's go over there. 1 John chapter 3. What is this church at Smyrna covered with? Promises. You're going to get some persecution. But I got a promise for you. It's going to get better. 1 John chapter 3. And this is another promise. We look at ourselves and we see the struggles that we're going through. But notice what he says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Verse 1. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are children of God right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Notice that. But we know that when he shall appear, we should be what? Like him. That's a promise. It's not right now. We understand that. But we know it's coming. That's the type of promises that God said, look, Smyrna, let me hang these on you. There's a crown of life for you. Let me hang this on you. Hey, you don't have to worry about a second death. This is the worst you're going to see. Yeah, I know you're going to be tried. I know you're going to have tribulation 10 days. I know you're going to be put in prison. I know about the synagogue of Satan. I know about all that. He said, but just hang on. Hang on. Why? They were persecuted, but they were protected. God says, you got another life. He talked about the second death, but he said, you know what? That second birth is what sets you apart. That second birth is what gets you going and keeps you going. After the promise of trials and tribulations and tough times, with those promises, we can endure, knowing that we're saved. It's the worst we're going to see. Leave you with this verse here in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. I don't know about you, when the going gets tough, I have to fall back on the promises. And that's what he's counting on these Christians doing, falling back on the promise of the crown of life, falling back on the promise that they won't be touched by this second death. And he says, look, hang in there. 2 Peter, chapter number, let's see here, where am I at here? That's the one that I, the one that says, make your election and calling sure. Which verse is that? Or is that in 1 Peter that I'm looking? Make your calling and election sure. Is that 1 Peter? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What did Peter say? He said, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you are saved. He says, some of these folks, they forgot that they were purged from their sins. And they forgot. They were blind. They couldn't see afar off in verse number 9. He said, the person lacking these things, he says, blind, can't see afar off. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He said, but make sure you're saved. The one thing that's going to get you and I through tough times is the promise. The promise of God's word. He gave them the crown of life. He said, it's there for promise. Then he says, you don't have to worry about this second death. He says, so be faithful unto the end. Go back to Revelations as we close. Revelations chapter number 2. I don't know about you, but the more of the promises of God's word you know, the more hope you have. The more promises that you have in front of you that you can claim, the more stamina you have. By the way, if you only have the promise that you're saved, that's enough to keep you going, but it won't get you far down the road. When a lot of bad things start happening, it won't get you far. It won't get you. Only thing you know is that I'm saved, and you'll start feeling like Job after a while. And guess what? If Job had given up, by the way, Job said, I wish I was never born. I'm sure some of us have said that. I wish I was never born before when the going gets tough. Boy, but then we get out that problem. Oh, I'm so glad I'm still alive. But when we was back there, like, man, Lord, just kill me. It would be like Moses. Lord, if you're going to treat me this way, just kill me. But then after we get through that, we like, oh, I'm still alive. Yeah, woohoo. We look back. Yeah. And God said, you want to go back there? No. But if we were dead, we'd never see it. The second death is not talked about much because the second birth is so important for you and I. And the promises that we have in the word of God to claim and to hold on to. Do we know tribulations are going to be there? Trials are going to be there? Tough times? But I see the light at the end of the tunnel. The Bible says the devil is mad because he knows he's got but a short time. You look at our government now, and we're going down the tubes real fast. It's only a matter of time. We are a superpower right now, as they would call them. I mean, how longer do you think we're going to be a superpower if we continue going down the road we're going? Our military is crumbling. Our government is crumbling. Our morals are crumbling. Our economy is crumbled. We're bankrupt to China. We owe them so much money, it would take several lifetimes to pay it back. And we wonder why we're not talked about in Revelation when everything comes to a head and there's the 10 Nation Federation, all these churches in China and Asia are joining up. Wonder why America's not there. I believe it's because we're too much in debt. And China's going to say, you just keep out of this. I got your bill of sale right here and you can't have it until you pay. And we can't pay. Now, that's my own personal opinion. That's not Bible. But China's in there. And many other nations, but not America. I wonder why. We're a superpower now. But Greece was a superpower once. So was Italy. So was Britain. So was Persia. So was Babylon. We can go on and on. They were superpowers. Egypt. There has beens now. Hey, folks, I'm so glad that I'm not counting on this world's economy. I'm counting on my second birth to save me from that second death. Amen. As he closes out with this church at Smyrna, he says, hey, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That means if I give up, then I will be hurt. No, it just means that you won't be a testimony to a lost world that needs to see a testimony. And he's trying to encourage them. Don't give up, Smyrna. Don't give up. We'll see Pergamos next week, and that'll be another interesting church that will be the topic of discussion as we look at some character traits there in that church. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Lord, thank you that the second death is not talked about often, but the second birth and the new life in Christ is mentioned just about in every place we see in the New Testament. Lord, it is the positive promises of God that we hold on to, just like Smyrna did, and just like the crown of life was presented to them, and the lack of going through the second death was presented to them. Well, we have so many more precious promises in this word of God. And help us, Lord, to take the precious promise of eternal life and then the other truths, along with trials, tribulations, and tough times. And Lord, be able to look at Romans 8:28, and know that it's common to man, and know that the judge of all the earth will do right. And know that at the end, we've made our calling and election sure. And Lord, we know that this is the worst we'll ever see. It only gets better from here. Help us to be a shining light and a testimony to all that we see over the next several days. Lord, because we know the second death won't bother us. And we know that if we do what the Bible says, there's some crowns that we can obtain to lay at your feet. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work, our labor is not in vain. And help us, Lord, to shine. You said, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Help us, Lord, to leave here knowing that the Spirit of the living God must be upon us to do this. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you've done and what you continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen.